So happy to have you with us here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Larry Mueller here. Going to turn our attention to from owls to sturgeon. You know, it's Wednesday, and Wednesday is always Environment Day and Outdoor Wisconsin Day. So we really try to feature something along those lines every Wednesday. And today we had owls, and now we got sturgeon. And we certainly should be celebrating sturgeon here in the state of Wisconsin, because we have what I think is the largest number of sturgeon of any state or maybe anywhere. Let's find out. Kathy Klein is an education outreach specialist at the University of Wisconsin Sea Grant Institute, and one of the authors of the book, People of the Sturgeon, Wisconsin's Love Affair with an Ancient Fish. She was last with us with Ron Brook in 2009.
Yep, that sounds about right.
Long time ago, but I'm really glad to have you with us. Craig Molitor hasn't been with us before, but he is president of the Fond du Lac Visitors Bureau. And Craig, thanks for coming by.
It's a real honor. Thanks for having us.
I really appreciate it. And so we have more sturgeon than anybody, haven't we?
We have the largest population of lake sturgeon in the world. It's something definitely for Wisconsin to be proud of.
Can you give us a little history of sturgeon here in the state?
Well, the history of sturgeon, it's a sad tale, and now it's turned into a happy ending for the Lake Winnebago sturgeon population in Wisconsin. So lake sturgeon throughout the Great Lakes region, they were almost really made extinct in the Great Lakes.
Extirpated.
Mm-hmm. Due to overfishing, to pollution, to habitat degradation. Caviar is really what almost did them in. So sturgeon eggs are made into caviar. Any species of sturgeon can produce caviar. And that's what happened on the Great Lakes. Commercial fishing really took hold in the late 1800s and almost wiped them out. So today they say in Lake Michigan that the population of lake sturgeon is about at 1% of what it used to be historically.
Wow. That's amazing, but we're doing a pretty good job, I think.
We are a model for really for the world on how to protect a sturgeon population. So we're very lucky that the Lake Winnebago sturgeon population is entirely within Wisconsin. So we've been actively managing this population since 1903, really, is when we first enacted the first legislation to protect sturgeon in Lake Winnebago. And ever since then, the sturgeon population has been protected in various ways. We've been doing lots of research on it. And then the people living around Lake Winnebago stepped up and kind of sealed the fate in a great way for the lake sturgeon to protect them. And that's why we have the population that we have today.
Yeah. Craig Molitor, I was going to bring that up because I think sturgeon play a great role in probably in your community, would you not say?
Absolutely. You know, I moved here from Michigan about 6 years ago, lower peninsula. And when I got to town, my first winter, I thought, what in the heck is going on out on the lake? I mean, I know of ice fishing, but I'd never seen anything like this. And it's truly a party out on the lake. It's mm-hmm. a whole town appears before your eyes, and there's two really primary way stations on the east and the west side of the lake. And that first year, I made a trek out there to both of them. And I thought this is something like I've never seen before. And personally, I was interested, but I also had this professional interest of, you know, can we make more of the sturgeon spearing phenomena from a tourism standpoint?
Mm-hmm.
Because it's obviously impacting local businesses, and that's how it spiked my interest in the event.
And it's of course involved a lot of people in that community.
It really has. We have a couple folks that actually a lot of folks, all of whom I won't be able to go into their names, but we have a couple folks that just stand out as what I would refer to as heroes in this story of the sturgeon, this long-running, as you said, kind of sad but now happy story. One of them is Bill Casper. You know Bill Casper?
Certainly, yeah. Yes.
And his sister, Mary Lou Schneider, and this organization that's called Sturgeon for Tomorrow. And I think Kathy can probably talk a little bit more about that. But there are folks there that have made it their life's work to make sure that the sturgeon population in the Lake Winnebago region is extremely healthy.
Yeah. Talking with Kathy Klein today, Education Outreach Specialist from the UWC Grant Institute, and with Craig Molitor, President of the Fond du Lac Visitors Bureau, about celebrating sturgeon here in the state. There's an event coming up on February 12th through the 14th. It's actually this weekend coming up, where you're going to have a chance, if you can make it over there, you're going to have a chance to experience a lot of things relating to sturgeon. We'll get into the particulars of that, but maybe you have some questions about sturgeon, or you might have an experience to share. Maybe you've been out there, maybe caught one on hook and line, or maybe you speared one through the ice. Give us a call, 1-800-642-1234. Email us at talk@wpr.org, or go ahead and post on our Facebook page at The Larry Mueller Show. I'd love to hear from you. And we had somebody who wasn't able to stay online, but wondered about the species of sturgeon. What species of sturgeon do we have here in Wisconsin?
Well, the lake sturgeon is one of them, and then the shovelnose sturgeon is the other. And the lake sturgeon originally grew up in the Mississippi River, and then when the Great Lakes formed, the lake sturgeon moved into the Great Lakes. So the lake sturgeon is actually older than the Great Lakes themselves.
And it's an old, old fish. old
and ugly.
Well, some people say that they're very cute as well.
Yes.
I have a special affinity for lake sturgeons.
As do I.
I'm going to stick up for them. But, yep, they say that they're about 150 million years old. And so Fred Binkowski, one of my co-authors, always likes to say that whatever killed off the dinosaurs did not kill off the lake sturgeon. They're an old, tough fish.
Yeah, and have been, obviously, as Kathy says, been around for a long, long time. Mike and Slinger has a comment and question. Hi, Mike. Thanks for calling.
Hey there. Yeah, my question is, I do a lot of walleye fishing in the spring, and I always pick up two or three sturgeon. And sometimes I can't get them to the boat, and I guess I just wonder what happens with that hook in there, because I know they have the little suction cup that comes down their bottom feeders. And does that really... I mean, I don't know what to do about it. I mean, I fish with minnows, and they like minnows. But is there anything I can do if I can't get them to the boat, cut the line right away, or try and get it up as far as I can and then cut the line?
Gosh, I'm not a biologist. That's probably a better question for one of the DNR biologists.
I think the best thing you can do is cut the line and let them go and cut it as close as you can. But they're... hook caught, as you, I'm sure you know, Mike, hooked fish, if the hook stays in the fish's mouth for any time, it's going to, I don't know, rust away is not the right term, but it can go away. Let's put it that way.
Okay.
And it's probably preferable to try to pull it in, then pulling it in the boat and removing the hook that way. If you can remove the hook with the pliers while the fish is in the water, I do that. But if you can't, I just cut the line and let them go.
Yeah. But you're right. They do have they have a very different mouth than the other fish that you're out there, because you're right. It's that suction tube sort of appendage that comes out.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. Thanks a lot for calling. Appreciate the call. And we should just mention, as Mike well knows, there is a line fishing season, but it's not a long season, if I'm not mistaken, and it doesn't necessarily coincide with the other. I mean, if you happen to be fishing for something else and you happen to catch a sturgeon.
On Lake Winnebago, the only legal way to take a sturgeon is to spear it through the ice during the spearfishing season on Lake Winnebago.
Yeah, there you go. Stanley in West Allis, thanks for calling. Hi.
Hello, Larry. Yeah, I've got a question. My parents used to live in Portland, Oregon, and my wife and two sons, we used to go out there just about every summer, and my parents used to like to take us, I think it's on the Willamette River, There's a big dam there.
Yeah.
And then on one area alongside the dam, there's a big pond there, and they had some huge sturgeon in there. And I'm guessing that the sturgeon probably, you know, lived in the river. There was a lot of trout and salmon that you could see. They had a like a thing that would go alongside the falls where the salmon could climb up.
Yeah, a ladder.
And I wonder, are those sturgeon related to the ones here?
Those are most likely white sturgeon, Pacific white sturgeon. I would call them, I hope our DNR biologists would be okay with this, cousins of our lake sturgeon. That's how I would refer to them. So there are roughly, I think, 26 or 27 species of sturgeon around the world. And those would be the white sturgeon out on the Pacific coast. And those grow to be, they can get much larger than our lake sturgeon. And they also grow much faster. So there's actually, they are farming some white sturgeon out there on the Pacific coast for caviar and for the flesh, because they can grow them so much faster than it would be much more difficult for us to do that with lake sturgeon.
Yeah, and the caviar is different depending on the species, for sure.
Mm-hmm. I'm no caviar expert, but
no,
I have heard that our lake sturgeon caviar holds up pretty well. Of course, the only time you can legally have lake sturgeon caviar is from a speared sturgeon in February, so it's a little early than they would be spawning in April. But I've tasted some myself, and it's actually quite good.
Yeah, absolutely. And well, thanks again, Stanley, for calling. Appreciate your call. We are going to take a look at the news and weather and find out what else is in store for us here on the Ideas Net. And then we'll be back with our guest, Kathy Klein and Craig Molitor, to talk some more about sturgeon and also about that big sturgeon event that's coming up this weekend. Stay with us. Call in with your questions, and we will be back right after this look at the news. Stay with us. Great to have you along today on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio as we take a look at sturgeon. We're going to celebrate sturgeon here in the state. Coming up this weekend, there's a great event happening along Lake Winnebago and the Fond du Lac area. And we've got Craig Molitor, president of the Fond du Lac Visitors Bureau, as one of our guests. He's going to talk about that event. And Kathy Klein with us as well. She's education outreach specialist at the University of Wisconsin Sea Grant Institute, and one of the authors of the book, People of the Sturgeon, Wisconsin's Love Affair with an Ancient Fish. Now, that book was first published, I think, in 2009. It is a absolutely lovely, lovely book. Is it still in print?
Yes, it's still in print, and we also have an audiobook version of it as well, which actually has some additional material in it, and we did a lot of oral history interviews for the book, and Sturgeon for Tomorrow, the group that Craig talked about, was essential for that part. They went around and collected lots of stories from people around Lake Winnebago. So we have some of those clips from those interviews as well in the audiobook.
And there's some wonderful photography in that book.
It is gorgeous. We give away the book to our VIPs that visit us because it's a coffee table style.
Yeah,
it's just
beautiful.
Stunning. Yeah.
Yeah, those are photographs by Bob Rashid, who is a Madison native.
Yeah, and our great photographer.
Definitely.
Yeah. Great photographer. Well, I want to give Karen and Oshkosh a chance to join in. She's been waiting quite a while, and then I want to get to that celebration. But here's Karen. Hi, Karen.
Hi, how are you?
Great, appreciate your call.
I'm calling. I lived in Oshkosh for about 16 years, but spent 16 years also in Houghton, Michigan, where Michigan Technological University is. And when my son was about 13 or 14 years old, one of our friends was a doctoral candidate at Michigan Tech, and she did her thesis on sturgeon. And so they would go out. She had a Volkswagen hatchback. And they would go out and catch the sturgeon, and then my son would like grab it around like he was dancing. He'd grab it around its waist and lay back on the hatchback, and then the doctoral candidate she would tag the thing, and then they would get him up and they'd throw the thing back in the lake. And then there was information on the tag somehow about, you know, because I never saw the tags, but if you caught the sturgeon or you speared it, then contact Michigan Tech to tell them where and what date and, you know, how if you weighed it, how much it weighed and all that kind of stuff. And so he was participating in this sturgeon study for her doctoral.
Oh, sounds like a great experience for him, and maybe not so great for the sturgeon.
Well, if he was a good dancer, maybe it was okay.
Well, maybe. That's possible. Is there a lot of research out there?
Oh yes. And that's one of the really special things about our lake sturgeon population in Lake Winnebago is that we've been actively researching these sturgeon since the early 1940s.
Yeah.
So we have this huge, huge database about these sturgeon, and it's one of the reasons why the spear fishery is such a sustainable spear fishery is that we have a very good idea of how many sturgeon are in the Lake Winnebago system, how old they are, how many females, how many males. We've been doing studies on, and I should say not me, but the,
yeah.
Our researchers.
No, we, our state.
I take, yes.
Sure.
Yes,
with a capital W.
Exactly.
We with a capital W.
We have information about where they feed when they're young, how they move during the year. And it's all information that really wasn't available before Wisconsin researchers started taking a look at the Lake Winnebago population. So really, scientists around the world have used the research that we've done here in Wisconsin to help understand their sturgeon populations better.
And when talk about close monitoring, I mean, the numbers of speared fish are very closely monitored and might end on a moment's notice.
That's right. As I understand it, the season is structured such that when the limit is caught or speared, the season ends. So unlike some other hunting and fishing seasons with, you know, definitive or exact parameters, this one is, it always begins the second weekend in February.
Mm-hmm.
The Friday is when folks can officially begin cutting in, as they call it. I'm using air quotes, mm-hmm. cutting in. And Saturday at sun up is when they can begin the actual sturgeon spearing activities. But when the DNR says, hey, X amount is caught and that's our limit, season's over.
Yeah, it doesn't matter what day or anything.
No.
No, and they've been tweaking those rules for, you know, several years. They've got it pretty well figured out by now. And those that tagging that our caller was just talking about, that's probably the main part of that's how the researchers keep track of sturgeon in Lake Winnebago and in the Great Lakes and other places too. But being able to tag those sturgeon when they come in, when people spear them, everybody has to go to a registration station to get that sturgeon tagged. The DNR collects a lot of data on each fish that comes in. And then in the spring too, when the sturgeon are spawning on the Wolf River, the DNR goes out and nets as many as possible, and they scan them because the tags are a little electronic. They call them pit tags. They're like what people put in their cats and dogs.
Mm-hmm.
So they scan them then to see if they already have a tag, and if they don't, they tag them then too. So those tags are really the way that the DNR keeps track of our sturgeon population.
Well, before we get too far away here and we run out of time, Craig, tell us about this event that's celebrating sturgeon in Wisconsin.
Sure. Well, you know, I just say real succinctly that the reason for the season, if I could rip off that phrase, is the sturgeon. It's why we're there this weekend, this coming weekend, celebrating. For the last couple of years, the Visitors Bureau, where I work, we brought in outdoor journalists. They were all women, just because we were looking for a unique way to tell the story, so we called it Women on Winnebago. And for 3 years, we made sure they had their licenses in October, and we set them up with shanties. We gave them instructions on how to do this. Not myself, but we hired guides, and we had them come up and go through the experience. Because, again, we thought it was such a unique opportunity. Fast forward to 2 years ago, there was a release of a documentary called The Frozen Chosen. And that was an amazing story about how the sturgeon spearing season sort of affects families in the area. They told the story of a family on the east coast and the west coast of Lake Winnebago. You can find that documentary out there by visiting our website. all proceeds go to Sturgeon for Tomorrow, so this is not a pitch for revenue. Last year, we hosted this event called World Ice and Snow Sailing Association Championship, and we brought in folks from all over the world, literally, to ice kite. And they were all fascinated by the sturgeon spearing phenomenon. We had folks from Russia, the Ukraine, and I and other people in the community said, look, if ever there was a reason to have a festival, the sturgeon is it. And so we proceeded with that idea, and that's where we are today. We've got a fantastic weekend starting Thursday lined up of activities, events. It's very, very family friendly. We've got the Children's Museum involved. We've got the Blue Line Ice Center involved. There's going to be hockey on Lake Winnebago. Friday night there's going to be live music both downtown and on the ice. Friday night culminates with fireworks and a bonfire on the ice. Saturday is going to be hockey. We've got a fantastic organization we're working with called Fishing Has No Boundaries. Mm-hmm. And this is an organization that assists folks.
Great
with,
group.
Yeah, it really is. They assist folks that have physical and mental challenges. And the standard cause, the standard operation is to get them out there fishing. Well, our local chapter is getting them out there for the second year, getting them into shanties and teaching them about sturgeon spearing. So it's just a fantastic thing. Our local historical community is going to be doing sleigh rides. The downtown's got a chili crawl. We want it to be community-wide, and we want it to be about the celebration of sturgeon spearing.
Well, and if you go to your website, which is, I think we may have a link to it. Yeah, we do have a link to it, but what is it?
Sure, it's a real easy one. It's FDL.com. And, of course, FDL is for Fond du Lac. FDL.com, and you will see information about all the activities. If I could just say real quickly, too, we are going to be actively dissuading folks from parking on the ice. It's been an odd year, a little bit warm, contrary to the weather right now. It's been a little bit warm, and our very, very strong preference is to have people not park on the ice. So we've got very convenient off-ice parking. We've got a very robust shuttle service in place. We'll get you to the ice. You can get there. You can enjoy what's going on, watch the kiting, watch the hockey, have maybe an adult beverage, and just have a good time.
And that's all going to be very good and safe. But if your car went through, you would be you would not like it at all, because you need to have it removed right away, and it's a very expensive, obviously, and all the rest.
Yeah. And, you know, for people who have never seen sturgeon spearing on Lake Winnebago before, it is quite a sight. I mean, you head down there and you get to the ice and you see these roads that have been plowed by the fishing clubs, and you kind of forget what, you know, I've taken my little Honda Fit out on Lake Winnebago, and you kind of forget when you're out there that you're on a frozen lake. Yeah. And, you know, ice, they say ice is never 100% safe, so it's always shifting, it's always moving.
That's
so
right.
Definitely
That's right.
take care.
That's right. We say that a lot. Ice is always shifting, and if you don't know what you're doing, you really shouldn't get out there. I would say if you want to see some real sturgeon activity, there's two places you can go. May I just throw out some names? Okay. Wentz on the Lake is a way station on the West Coast. Classic Wisconsin tavern, shall we say. Great food. And the way station's right there. It is a party. And then on the west side of the lake, we have Jim and Linda's, which is a classic Wisconsin supper club. Another way station there. And you cannot go wrong. You can see one of these sturgeons that is, Kathy and I agree, they're so ugly, they're beautiful. You just got to love them.
Mm-hmm.
And then when you're done checking out the sturgeon, because the season, the actual activities for sturgeon spearing itself run from sun up to 1 o'clock. Our activities on the lake will be running all day, and our activities will be at the far south end of the lake on Winnebago Drive, right off of Roosevelt Park. And there's a bar there. I keep mentioning bars, but this is Wisconsin, right?
Yeah.
There's a bar there called Sunset Grill and Bar. It's right on the lake, and you cannot miss the tents, the hockey, all of the excitement that goes along with this type of event.
Sounds like a lot of fun. Bob in Krivitz has something for us. Let's go there. Hi, Bob. Thanks for calling.
Hi, Larry. How are you?
Great. Appreciate the call. What's on your mind?
Okay. First of all, let me compliment you. I've been retired since 2001. I've called in several times, And there's never a day, unless I'm out fishing, that I miss your program.
Oh, thanks.
I got two quick stories here. I volunteered. I worked after I retired 5 years as a volunteer for the DNR, and I got into the sturgeons up at Shiocton. My wife and I, we'd spend 3 days there at the fish camp and then help out with patrolling the area.
Yeah.
Okay. And, I just loved it. It's a terrific experience. They're always looking for help. You can stay right at the fish camp. They supply you with breakfast. They supply you with supper. And you can pack your own lunch right there.
Yeah.
Okay. And it's just a great time. And, you know, I pet sturgeon along the shorelines already where they've come up. But anyhow, another time I helped out along the edge of the highway. And there were sturgeon spawning along there. And they were weighing them and tagging them. And I'll never forget this. There was about 20 people standing around. And one little girl said to one little boy in the audience there, kind of standing there, what are they doing? And this little boy was about a year old. And he might have been about 5 or 6. He said, they're arguing over who's going to be the mom and who's the dad.
Well, you know, thanks, Bob, a lot for calling. I appreciate your call.
Classic.
Well,
classic.
He's, you know, here's somebody who's volunteered. And there's a lot of volunteer opportunities out there, Kathy, for folks to sort of watch over the sturgeon when they're spawning and participate
Definitely.
That way.
I always like to say that there's really no better conservation success story in Wisconsin than the lake sturgeon. And that volunteer guard program is part of that conservation success story, a very large part of it. That was the DNR and Sturgeon for Tomorrow worked to establish a sturgeon guard program to protect sturgeon when they're spawning in the spring. They're very vulnerable then because, you know, they're busy and they have other things on their minds.
Yep, for sure.
So people volunteer to take a 12-hour shift and just stand on the riverside and make sure that nobody grabs one. There used to be a really big poaching problem in Wisconsin years ago, and that basically all turned around in a generation because of the Sturgeon Guard program and the work that Sturgeon for Tomorrow has done.
It's absolutely wonderful. And again, thanks for that call. Rich in Two Rivers, thank you for calling. Hello.
Yeah, hello, good afternoon. Yeah, I have a question and a quick story. The question is, I kind of live vicariously through, I work in the health field and I love to fish, but I never fish for sturgeon. But a patient that fished all the time over on the St. Croix many years, he said that sturgeon were typically 8 months out of the year vegetarians, and they eat off debris on the bottom, and then for the last 3 to 4 months of the year they actually end up being, they eat other minnows and carnivores. And I didn't know I'm sure he knew what he was talking about because he fished for them all the time, and so I would just like to know if that's a situation. But another patient back in Austin, Minnesota, him and his grandfather back in the 40s decided to go to the St. Croix to go up fishing for sturgeon, and they bought the biggest rods they had, and they drove up there and they hooked up. They went to a spot and they saw other people fishing for them, and the people next to them hooked onto a big sturgeon, and instead of reeling it in, they rolled the line around the bumper of the hitch of the car. They pulled this 150-pound fish out. And then the other two, the grandfather and the grandson, they ended up putting the rods back in the car and drove home.
Oh, those are great stories, Rich. Thank you so much. And he does, you know, he talks about they're basically, they do eat plankton or whatever off the floor of the creek bed or whatever, or the river bed, but then they do eat minnows.
They do. Again, I'm not the biologist, but, and I haven't heard of it broken down, you know, to different parts of the year, but they kind of eat whatever is there. They're not too fussy. And I think that's probably done well for them over the years, that they can kind of go with whatever food's out there, because really they haven't changed very much in 150 million years. So they've been able to adapt to whatever's going on in the environment.
And thanks again, Rich, for calling. Jerry in Milwaukee, we turn to you next. Hi, Jerry.
Good afternoon. Yes, they absolutely do eat minnows. That's part of my story. We were ice fishing on Lake Poygan, probably right around this time of the year, about 10 years ago, maybe a little bit later, closer to March. And I caught about a 15-inch sturgeon on a tip-up rig. Just took my minnow bait. And fortunately, he didn't hook himself very bad, so I was able to release him successfully. And quickly, I had a question, maybe now a second one, if I can. How does one get involved with the Volunteer Guard, or who do you contact? And then secondly, I was interested, when they do close the season for sturgeon, when they reach the quarter reel, you know, what do? Do they sound air horns out on the ice or something to immediately alert people, or how does that work?
Yeah, good question.
That is a good question. So they have different quotas set up for males, for females, for juvenile females, for older females. And they have different quotas set up for the upriver lakes as opposed to Lake Winnebago. If any of those harvest caps are met, then the season ends that day. So that they wouldn't sound off a horn at like 10 a.m. They would wait until the 1 o'clock time had reached, and then the season would end then. Or depending on how the harvest cap goes, it might end the next day if they only reach 90% of the harvest cap or something like that. So it is very tightly regulated, but no air horns.
Okay. I like the idea. It's very dramatic, though.
Yeah. I like it, too.
I appreciate...
Volunteer Guard.
Oh, and the Volunteer Guard, yes. That's a great question. The DNR coordinates that. So if you just go on the Wisconsin DNR site and probably just type in Sturgeon Guard or Sturgeon Patrol, you'll get to a web page that will tell you how to sign up for that. And it's a little tricky because it all depends on when the sturgeons start moving upriver, which is dependent on the water temperature. But definitely I encourage anybody who has the time to sign up for that program. It's quite an experience.
I've talked to a lot of people who have actually done it, and they've every one of them just thought, wow, it was just the greatest experience.
And it's something, you know, nobody else has an opportunity to do. It's a Wisconsin thing, so
yeah.
I also think it's a cool thing to introduce your kids to at a certain age, because there's a lot of lessons there. You know, biology,
absolutely.
Personal responsibility, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah, it's a lot. And you can take your camera and take your video camera along, too, if you've got one of those. And you're going to have a lot of fun, because there isn't really a lot of work to it.
No.
It's just like having a good time watching fish and probably talking to other people. And it's just a great time.
And oftentimes the fish are right there on the rocks,
yeah,
right in front of you. They're halfway out of the water.
Yeah.
It's quite an experience.
So, Jerry, thanks again. Appreciate your call. And here we are about out of time. And Kathy and Craig, thank you so much. And again, just a reminder, we've got the big event coming up, Sturgeon Spectacular. It's going to be held in Fond du Lac area on Lake Winnebago.
Yes, sir.
And it runs Thursday?
Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and even Sunday. Yeah, and you could get more information at FDL.com.
FDL.com for Fond du Lac.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
Thank you so much. I was thinking back to my youth. Every time I think about Fond du Lac, I think about my days as a college student when I worked on a crew that built some houses in Fond du Lac, and I wondered if those are still standing.
I'm sure they are.
Well, one was half built and a tornado came through and took it down.
So not a good omen.
No, we had to start all over again. Oh, my gosh. But it's a lovely area. Now, I really enjoyed working there that summer, and yeah. And it's a fun area, whether it be summer or winter, which is obviously right now. And get up there and take a look and have some fun at the Sturgeon Spectacular. Kathy Klein, Education Outreach Specialist at the UW Sea Grant Institute, and Craig Molitor, who is president of the Fond du Lac Visitors Bureau, our guests. It's great to have them along. And great to have you listening in as well. I really appreciate that. Well, tomorrow we're going to be talking about how to tighten up your home with a home improvement expert, and it's probably come to mind here recently with the kinds of temperatures we've had. So that's tomorrow here on the Ideas Network. Stay with us.